football recruiting today. We got John Garcia Jr. joining the show. We're going to talk quarterback recruiting, anything new there, and a couple 24 kids that the Badgers are on that are really exciting. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Thank you for joining Locked On Badgers, making this one your first listens every single day. I am your host, Ryan Herrings. If you're finding us on YouTube or on the pod, either way, we greatly appreciate it. Also want to thank LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn is the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions do apply. And we're going to bring John Garcia Jr. on, Sports Illustrated Recruiting Director, College Football Recruiting Insider for the Locked On Network. John, it's been a couple weeks since you've been on the show. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to talk Badgers. We're in the season now, so it's a different vibe from a recruiting standpoint. But look, there's still a lot to get to, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought this would be a good week to do it. Wisconsin's on the road, so they don't have anybody on campus this week. The biggest question, and we always talk about this, quarterback recruiting. You know, we've talked about a couple of the players. We had Cole LeCru and Ryan Brown both on the show. Parker Lees will hopefully be coming on our show as well. Is there anything new kind of in that three-headed monster right there?
Everyone's waiting for that offer, right? I think that is really where things stand. You know, I know Coach Ingram and the crew there are still, I guess, saying all the right things about wanting a quarterback in this class of 23. And those three recruits have received the most, I guess, nationally, Wisconsin interest over the last month or so. And two of them have been to campus, right? As you mentioned, Brown and LeCru. I think Parker is trying to work something out to maybe get up to Madison as well. But Wisconsin's brand new on his list. The other two, it was kind of the end of the summer where they started to jump in. So, yeah, everyone's waiting for that offer. But in the meantime, here's what's interesting is other schools are kind of piggybacking, right? Other schools are like, oh, this Ryan Brown is pretty good. Oh, this LeCru is pretty good. You know, Brown and LeCru haven't lost a game this year, but both putting up really, really nice numbers. I think Brown's lost one game as a starter since high school. So going back to high school, I should say. So it's really an interesting group of different style of quarterbacks as well. So I think it's a combination of Wisconsin trying to identify maybe who they have the best shot for if all of them got offered, and also trying to figure out which one best fits the either current or future direction of the offense. Because again, all three are very different type of quarterback. So I think that's fascinating from the Wisconsin front as well. So I think the prevailing thought is that the ball is still in Wisconsin's court here with these three, but other schools are getting involved. You know, LeCru's got Oregon State on his list. And look, that's a program that's looking a lot better than we thought on the field. So maybe that looks like a more attractive offer. Kansas is in on most of these guys we're talking about. They certainly look and feel different than we thought of, you know, 2-3 months ago. So these other programs are still in it. Purdue, Florida State, still talking to Ryan Brown as well. Last week he told me he's still trying to work on visits to both of those programs. Each is QB-less in the class of 23, just like Wisconsin is. So there are some other schools getting involved with these kids, but it's coming down to the scholarship offers. It looks like, or if I would have had to guess, I think Wisconsin only offers one of these guys. You know, whichever one they're ready to take, you offer, you push for, and you try to land him before all is said and done. But it could be, you know, it could be an undefined timeline in terms of when that may happen. It could, to me, it could go all the way to signing day, where that morning they're making phone calls to Venice or to New York or to Kansas or to Bradenton, Florida, saying, hey, you've got a Wisconsin letter of intent coming in. You should probably sign it. You know, it could go all the way to that point. So I think it'll be fascinating between these three and maybe between some others involved as well. So it's about the other programs and just when that first offer is going to pipe in.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Is the lack of offer maybe point to the fact that there's still obviously something the Badgers either aren't fully convinced on, or perhaps there's a prospect that they're working on kind of in the dark here that hasn't really surfaced. There's clearly something else here. Is there any type of feel on what that might be or what kind of timeline?
Yeah, that could be a variety of things, right? As you mentioned, there could be a dark horse flip candidate that they're working on that's committed to another school that, you know, it's not quite public just yet. That's certainly possible. I think another scenario is still the transfer portal, just trying to navigate who may become available, right? Look, Nebraska's already fired their coach. Arizona State has already fired their coach. Those in-season moves aren't going to stop. You know, I think that that trend is only going to continue. So not only that, but these other schools are still in the middle of quarterback battles, right? Auburn, Texas has played multiple guys already. There's a lot of question marks at some of these other programs with some of these QB1 jobs. So I do still think there's a transfer portal element to this that lends to patience. It lends to extending the timeline until you don't have to. So I do think that's part of the process. And now there are new transfer portal rules being put into place. And I need to read more up on this, to be honest. But there are more rules in terms of the windows when some of these guys could jump into the transfer portal. So it might not be as cut and dry as it was even just last year, where kid loses a job, he jumps in the portal, and he's getting phone calls the next day. It's not going to be that simple going forward. So there is an element to patience that really benefits the Badgers in this scenario. So it could be flipping another recruit. It could be the portal. It could be a combination of the two, or waiting to see maybe one more thing from some of these other guys that they've started to up the communication with. So I do think among the schools that haven't taken a quarterback, because that's really the competition at this point, right? Among those schools, you know, the Wisconsin offer and angle, the stability, I do think is as attractive as any of those other programs that haven't brought in a QB in this class just yet, or have lost their quarterback recruit in this class of 2023. So I do think in that regard, you know, playing the long game makes some sense there as well. But of course, you know, that won't satisfy your audience, I'm assuming.
No, listen, everyone's worried about waiting too long. Then you lose out on Brown to a Florida State or LeCrew to an Oregon State or wherever that next offer might be. So that is obviously the worry. But it is an interesting point that – and we had Brian Brown and Cole LeCrew on the show, and they both talked about how much a Wisconsin offer would mean. So Wisconsin does hold a lot of the dealer cards here. I wanted to talk with you just a little bit because you and I have talked on the show a lot about both LeCrew and Brown. Parker Lease is kind of new on this, IMG. What about his game is intriguing a little bit, and where does he kind of stack up here, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's an emerger and kind of come out of nowhere. He was an Ivy League type of kid in terms of the scholarship offers going into the season after he made his move from Kansas down to IMG, but he's really done well for that varsity team. There's three teams at IMG, for those who don't know. You've got your national team that you see on TV, right? That's the team with kids from all over the country. You've got your varsity team, which is Parker's program, where he's kind of the leader there. Then you have your IMG Blue, which is kind of like the B varsity team, which plays a more super regional schedule in Central Florida. But with Parker, man, he's really played better every single week. And I think just last week, he put up an IMG passing record, 405 yards through the air. He's a bit more of a classic pocket passer relative to Brown and LeCrew, who are more dynamic athletes. Brown in a straight line sense, LeCrew in a kind of backyard sense. I think Parker Lease is more of a conventional pocket quarterback, very efficient. He's quick with his trigger. He's got good footwork, and he's mobile enough as a passer. He's just not one that, to me, you would like design run plays for. So I do think, again, these quarterbacks offer some nice variance in the situation as well. And again, he's a Kansas kid. He's a Midwest kid, so it's certainly – like LeCrew, something, you know, where Wisconsin is familiar. Wisconsin is not outside the box like it might be for a Ryan Brown from the state of Florida. So I do think that's a bit of an interesting trend in this new Wisconsin interest. But again, two things. When is he going to visit? What about that offer? You know, kind of the same questions we were asking with these other guys over the last month or so. But it's good to have more options. And I think more eyeballs are going to be on Parker Lease's, you know, front here going forward. Coaches are hitting the road every week. So I do think he's going to continue to add interest. So it's kind of the same situation, right? Which other programs emerge in the conversation? He's a Kansas kid. Kansas doesn't have a quarterback, right? So that could be a program that maybe makes it interesting, although their offense looks like it's moving in a totally different direction on the field in 2022. So that could be maybe a blessing for Wisconsin in that front. But again, it's really about what Wisconsin wants to do. And I know we've badgered that point, pun intended, but it really is, you know, kind of another example of how tough the recruiting process is, because these guys all offer something good to the position. They offer something fresh to what we kind of conventionally think from the Wisconsin quarterback perspective, but you can only land one at the most, right? So it's going to be fascinating to see how they play it.
Great insight as always on the quarterbacks, Sean. And you know, we're going to continue talking about them until, you know, one comes into the fold.
Absolutely.
All right, coming up with John Garcia, we're going to keep him on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about two 2024 in-state Wisconsin kids that, quite frankly, are a ton of fun to watch on film. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest and best way to spice up your college football fantasy weekend. Easy to play, get started, and you're able to just go in and pick really interesting individual player props, 2 to 5 players per team. I'm going to tell you some of my Wisconsin favorites for this upcoming weekend. I've jumped on it. Graham Mertz, passing yards over 178.5. Listen, Ohio State's going to score points. Graham Mertz has been great this year. 3 straight 200-yard passing games. And that Ohio State secondary, it's not filled with the typical Ohio State first-round pick guys. So I think Mertz is going to have to throw it. The Wisconsin receiving core is deep. I think he's going over 178.5. That doesn't mean Wisconsin's going to win, but I'm taking that, and I'm taking Chimere Dike for over 40.5 receiving yards. Those are my picks this week on Underdog. Underdog Fantasy, again, is the easiest way to do this. Get paid quickly, spice up your college football fantasy weekend, and do it while you watch your teams. It's really simple to sign up and play right away. Easiest fantasy sports out there. Win cold, hard cash in a single game. Go to Underdog, make your picks just like I did. Let me know in the comments below what you're going to go with. Underdog, and we have a great offer for you for all of our Locked On listeners. Sign up with the promo code Locked On. That's one word. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 free. Go to underdog.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Locked On, one word. Get in on the college football pick 'em action today. I want to thank everyone again for tuning in to Locked On Badgers, making this one of your first listens every single day, whether you're on the podcast, YouTube, whatever you're doing. Really, really appreciate it. We're going to bring John Garcia back into the show. And John, definitely want to give you an opportunity to tell the listeners where they can find your work, because it's incredibly insightful.
Yeah, si.com/college on the written front. And yeah, all across the Locked On Network with folks like Mr. Herrings here. So yeah, check us out there and on Twitter at @JohnGarcia_JR.
That's awesome. And I highly encourage everybody to go check it out. We always get smarter because John Garcia is able to come on the show. One of my favorite guests and one of the people in the comments that everyone's always excited to see you, John, just so you know, to pass that along.
I appreciate that. Happy to be back, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and I've been wanting to talk about these two cats for a minute with you, and this feels like a good time to do it because, again, we don't have visitors on campus this weekend. Two 2024 in-state Wisconsin kids, both from Waukesha. Let's start with running back Corey Smith, 4-star kid, 5'11", 170, early offers, Tennessee, Nebraska, Michigan State, Notre Dame, I think more to come. What are your thoughts watching him play and kind of where his recruitment might play out?
Yeah, I think Auburn just offered Corey as well. Yeah, he's a guy who, you know, kind of the more you see, the more you learn about him, the easier the sell is. Because, as you mentioned, 5'11", 180 or so, really good in space, but he's really efficient in between the tackles as well. I love his vision. I love his big playability. And then he's got this third down ability as a receiver, which is I really think is really necessary for all these running backs coming out nowadays. Just like we talk about linebackers, you got to do something on third down. Running back is the same deal in this modern age of college football. What do you provide on third down? Are you a great blocker? Are you a great receiver? Or are you a guy who's got to come off the field? But there's no worry about that here with Corey. Really good ball skills and vision. I like the speed. He can win, you know, in the long game as well. And in high school, he's not this workhorse 30 carries a game kind of back. I like that too. It's not something I really talk about a lot with running backs, but, you know, the wear and tear is something that is still an issue at that position, and it's probably created a bit of a shorter shelf life even in college for some of these backs. So I do like the fact that he's not like a Najee Harris 30 carry a game kind of guy. He's more of a supplemental player, jet sweeps, off tackle stuff, working in the passing game. There's just a lot to like about the modern ability of Smith, and I think that's why his recruitment has kind of continued to pick up. And then from the Wisconsin angle, look, in-state kid. And look, if there's 7 positions that you line up and you say, hey, these kids are in-state and they're very good and they're going to be national recruits, the guys you would feel best about would be the running backs and the offensive linemen, right? The two positions we'll talk about today. There's interest there. It's been reciprocated. Corey, I think, has visited twice already. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Ryan, up in Wisconsin, or up in Madison, I should say, early this year. And I think both of these guys are scheduled to be in Columbus. So they'll see Wisconsin play again in person, although it'll be on the other side of the field there in the horseshoe. So a ton of interest both ways here. Wisconsin's going to be tough to beat for either within state lines, although it doesn't seem like either is trying to accelerate the process too much at this point. I don't think there's a tangible, hey, I want to commit early type of plan for either of these two guys. But look, when you have this type of talent in Wisconsin, it's real simple. You got to keep them home, especially when it's at the running back and offensive tackle spot.
Yeah, you know, a couple of interesting points you brought up that I want to talk about. The first is them going to Columbus. Was there any way we can keep that from happening? Can you?
I think it's probably too late for that. But hey, look, it's, you know, Ohio State can only take so many, right? Obviously, their 24 class is already off to a strong start. That's going to be interesting, right? You're going to have to fend off some programs for these guys, not just in the Big Ten, right? It looks like it's going to go beyond that footprint for both of them. So I think this is a good kind of early marker for Wisconsin to kind of absorb this trip that they're going to take and continue to prioritize them moving forward. Or, hey, Wisconsin pulls the upset and you know, you limp into some more good news with those guys seeing the Badgers, you know, multiple times in the first month of the season.
Sure. Could certainly wouldn't hurt. Let's say that. The other thing I wanted to touch on, which I think was really interesting, I wasn't planning to talk about Nate White, the 2023 in-state running back for Wisconsin, but you mentioned it with Corey, you know, a running back that is not that 30 carry guy being used in space, being used as a receiver, explosive. I mean, that's really a lot. And I didn't really draw that parallel until you mentioned that. That's really a lot of Nate White as well.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. I think that maybe it's a shift, right? A shift in what Wisconsin wants to do. I mean, it doesn't mean that your Allens and your Belushis aren't going to get, you know, double-digit carries every single game, but perhaps integrating a third player into that scheme just going forward is something that the crew wants to do there, especially when it comes to the passing game. I think that's really an area where it's kind of been up and down for a lot of programs. I think Wisconsin is one of those where you could probably ask a little bit more in the receiving game from that position. So maybe that's a little bit of a tweak to something that's already good, but something that maybe you want to tweak going forward. And yeah, we're starting to see some continuity in some of these top commitments and targets in that regard in 23 and 24 between these guys. And especially when they're in state, I think it says even more, right? Because when you're recruiting in state, and this is a whole nother topic, when you're recruiting in-state, even for Wisconsin and states that don't have, you know, the Florida, Georgia level talent, whatever, you've got to be very meticulous with who you offer and who you're willing to take. Because if you, for lack of a better phrase, if you piss off the local folks at the high school level, it can resonate for years to come, not just with a prospect or two, but years to come. So you have to be very careful with that. So when you're going back-to-back cycles, coveting a running back with in-state with a similar skill set, I do think it says a lot about what Wisconsin wants to do at the position, because you don't limp into those offers ever, right? It's like we talked about with quarterback. It's very meticulous. It doubles in pressure when you're talking about in-state recruits, because that's something that's always going to be a part of your program, regardless of scheme, coaching staff, et cetera.
Well, and especially, and this is something that you and I have hit on a lot with the Wisconsin walk-on program, they rely very heavily on those high school connections, those coaches, and it's a huge point of emphasis for Wisconsin. So yeah, that's a great point there. I want to finish up here with Corey Smith. I want to ask you, when you're looking at high school recruiting running backs, you're looking at film, what are a few things that you maybe really look for, you really hone in on, and where does Corey kind of check those boxes?
Yeah, I think vision is becoming more important in my evaluation of the running back position, because so many programs are running zone-based concepts, right, where it's not, you know, hey, we're in I formation, we're coming downhill on the A-gap, and you could bounce it one way, and that's kind of it. This is more of the balls in the running back's court type of offenses that we're seeing across the country. So the combination of really vision and patience, I think, is something that I'm weighing a little bit higher than I was 5 years ago in evaluating the position. And Corey is really strong in this regard. He's not a guy, even though he's great in space, he's not one who will always bounce outside because of that, because he's maybe, you know, in a better standing than the competition that he faces in the state of Wisconsin. He's not relying on that to win. So that's something I really like about his game. And I think another trait that is kind of moving up the list, in addition to pass catching and third down ability, which we've already talked about, is body control, right? It feels like in these running back by committees and these offenses that are going to rely on more than one guy, you're getting less opportunity. So the more you can do from a skill set perspective, that's important, but also how efficient you are with those touches. If you're a 10-touch-a-game kind of guy, you know, can we utilize you in short yardage, in space, in the passing game, and how do you absorb contact in those regards? So I think the body control that he shows, particularly in space and as a pass catcher, is really impressive because he's not the biggest guy. He's not a 210, 215-pounder that you're like, well, yeah, he's got a great low center of gravity and he's lower body dominant from his build. So, yeah, he's going to be a little bit more efficient in the contact balance perspective. But I think the body control as a runner and receiver here has been really impressive from the early clips I've seen of him on tape. And that's something that we're valuing a little bit more in the process because these guys aren't getting 25 carries a game.
That's great insight from under the hood. Coming up on Lockdown Badgers, we're going to talk about his teammate, the guy that if you watch Corey, you're seeing somebody typically open those holes for him. That's coming up next on Lockdown Badgers. Appreciate everybody for tuning in to Lockdown Badgers. We're going to continue talking 2024 in-state recruiting with John Garcia, Sports Illustrated Recruiting Director, Lockdown's Recruiting Insider. And John, we talked about Corey. I want to talk about his teammate at Waukesha, Donovan Harbor, another four-star blue chip prospect, offers from Florida, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Again, you could go on and on down that list. And big boy, a pancake factory when you watch the film. He manhandles people. What do you think of his game, his film, and kind of where his recruitment's going?
Yeah, he looks like a senior out there. He doesn't look like an underclassman, a guy that you're going to have to wait a couple signing days to see where he goes. He looks like he's already in this class of 23, as you mentioned, 6'5", over 300 pounds, and carries it so well. Maybe it's the two-sport background or just being offensive lineman bred in Wisconsin. He just carries it incredibly well, but man, it really shows up on Friday nights. The contact balance he possesses as an offensive lineman is really impressive. The leverage, despite that size, ditto as impressive, and it does lead to those pancakes that you've talked about. But he's also got this length. He's got this length that's desirable at the position. As we mentioned, that program doesn't, it's not a wing T. They're not coming downhill every play. So he's got a lot more pass protection reps than maybe your conventional Midwestern offensive lineman. And we love that. He looks good there so far. Always something to clean up, you know, in that regard, whether it's in the kick slide, the patience department, you know, something that is, it just comes with maturity. But in terms of the physical profile, the athletic profile, you know, he's great in track and field as well. And the shot in the discus, you know, all those things really translate towards an elite status for Harbor. And I think that more eyeballs will be on him as his junior season progresses, along with Corey, as they kind of tandem up the charts there and take a bunch of visits. So I think this is another one that is going to be a true national battle. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Everybody needs a bookend offensive tackle, left tackle candidate. If you're in that small group nationally, it's going to be a bit of a war. And I think that's part of the reason why both of these guys are kind of taking their time. I think they're kind of understanding, hey, yeah, I know I've got these great Big Ten and local and semi-local offers, but it's going to stretch beyond that. So I think that makes it more fascinating from the Wisconsin perspective, right? They'll be probably viewed as the favorites all the way through, but who emerges as the true contenders to some of these guys? But I think from a ready-made perspective, I think Harbor, among the juniors that I've scouted so far, he's about in as good a shape as any I've seen at any position, including some of these, you know, more well-known prospects at quarterback and some of these other spots.
Yeah, I think that's a great take. When you watch him on film, a lot of high school kids, offensive linemen, they look a little sloppy. I mean, I'm not trying, but they just, you know, the body needs work, which they're kids. Absolutely. They haven't been in. He moves well for his size. Like there's clips where he's getting to that second level. He's finding a safety, a linebacker. And then it's just, you know, whoa is that player? Cause he buries him. The other thing I really liked about his film, and I think offensive linemen need this, is when he buries somebody, like he lays on top of them, he pushes them back down. There's nothing dirty there. Cause after the play, if the clips linger long enough, he sticks out his big bear claw and helps him back up, like just about every time. But he plays to the definition of the whistle. How much do you look for just that tenacity in an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, in those kind of spots?
Yeah, you know, we talk about motor on the D-line a ton as a really big indicator of what we're going to get from a consistency perspective of some of these guys. But, you know, we need to talk about motor more on offense. You know, I think that's particularly on the line. Again, a lot of these schemes are zone-based. So that means that you're blocking more in a direction than a man, right? So if you can pick off two or you can get chip one to get to the second level, all the more impressive for you and your value. And that's something we see a lot with Donovan. And I think that's something that's really important to note because that motor is on 10, seemingly every single play. And that's something that really can't be taught either, right? It's one thing to have the physical traits, but that's a mentality deal. That has nothing to do with 6'5", 310, two sports star, all the accolades that are tangible. This is something intangible that you have to just have, or you don't. Or maybe you develop it down the line, but to not have to do that and dial him up. If anything, you got to dial him back a little bit. That's what every single coach at any single position in any sport probably would prefer. Let me dial him back as opposed to having to dial him up, especially at that position, right? It's an attitude position. It's a tone-setting position, literally. So to have that trait already as, again, as not as a senior but as a younger prospect, I think does say a lot about kind of the maturity that he brings to the table on top of these great physical traits. So excited to see his development and obviously where he ends up.
Yeah, for sure. I had a coach tell me, and we'll end on here. I had a coach tell me one time, we can teach you effort or we can teach you technique. And that's exactly what you're saying with Donovan. You don't have to teach him effort. Like, so you can focus on just the football side of it. He is John Garcia. We are always smarter because he stops by. Go check out his work. It's super insightful stuff. When you're done here, everybody, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you tuning in as we just continue to build this community. Hopefully knock off Ohio State this weekend. Go check out Locked On Big Ten with Nate Dickinson. He's going to take you all around the conference, all the rivals we kind of don't like and all the ones we really don't like. He'll get you caught up there. With that, on Wisconsin, John, thank you so much for stopping by as always. And we'll talk to you hopefully next week.